You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee. Welcome to episode 75 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. Have you heard of block fallopian tubes? In today's episode, we have Shanae Banks, who shares her secondary infertility diagnosis due to block fallopian tubes and her IVF journey. Shanae was diagnosed with secondary infertility at 26 years old after already having a child from a previous relationship. She ended up having both of her tubes removed, resulting in IVF being the option for her and her husband to grow their family. She is currently going through her second round of IVF and is documenting her journey on Instagram. This episode is for you to listen to if you've experienced secondary infertility or have been diagnosed with block fallopian tubes. Here is Shanae Banks. Well, thank you, Shanae, for being on the podcast.
And thank you for having me, Erica.
Well, let's begin by you sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay. So my name is Shanae. I am 30 years old. I live in the DMV area in Maryland. So I'm really close to Washington, D.C. I know a lot of DMV and it could be anywhere. But for me, I always associate myself with DMV because I could drive 10 minutes east and I could drive 10 minutes and I'm in Virginia of my location in Maryland. So I think it's really cool to be able to do that. A lot of people can't. I actually work in Washington financial aid. Oh, fun. I put a lot of kids in debt, so I feel kind of bad. But the education piece of it is really important and passionate about when I started working in finance. I currently will be married for officially a year in August. My husband and I have been dating for the past, I would say, 9 years. I lost track. Sorry. but it's been and a long time coming of our marriage. And we finally got married last year. So it'll be a year this coming August. So I'm so excited for us to celebrate that. I have a 11-year-old son, and he has a soon-to-be 7-year-old daughter.
Awesome. Well, happy anniversary in advance to you.
Thank you. Thank you. But for me, I feel like nowadays I can kind of tap into a lot of things outside of just what the topic of this podcast is. I'm actually tapping into blended families.
Awesome. Yes, for sure.
And I think that's another topic for a lot of women that can relate. Yes. But I really enjoy it. I love it. I love being, of course, a mom to my son. I love being a bonus mom to my bonus daughter. And we're currently looking to grow our family. So that's where this journey is going to come about. So that's a little bit about me. I'm trying to think of anything else. I think I've kind of sometimes, with everything that's going on, I'll try to keep busy. My mom passed away in February. So I'm still dealing with that, trying to stay busy. And I think me being busy is really helping, but my family were, you know, pushing through. Just one of them things where you have your good days, you have your bad. And I think for me, because I'm a loving person, I enjoy being around people, that's definitely helping. And she was that way as well. So I'm loving that I'm able to keep that spirit going, keep her name going as well.
Awesome. So take us back and tell us about your journey to motherhood from having your son up until now, where you and your husband are looking to try again.
So my journey to motherhood, for me, I always tell people, I'm like, I had no business being pregnant when I was pregnant, but it was a blessing. He's 11, so we definitely grew together. And it's so fun because I've looked very good for my age. I mean, we all do in the American community. And so for me, I look 16 and he's 11. So I always hear, is that your little brother? My husband and myself. It's so funny because we would always joke and we would say, you know what? We have a boy, we have a girl. You know, that's it for us. The funny thing is, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people can, you know, relate to this and being honest, but we weren't trying not to be pregnant. And as every woman knows, it's like, listen to your body, listen to your body. And for me, I kept saying, okay, you know, I'm being a mature adult, so I'm not on any, you know, birth control, forms of birth control. And I'm like, okay, I've never been on any. And I said, I know I'm not just that lucky. And I went to the doctor and, you know, came at me like I'm crazy because she's like, you're young. You know, at the time I was 26, 27. She goes, well, are you trying to get pregnant? And I said, no. And I said, but I'm not trying not to get pregnant. She's, you know, looking at me and, you know, they say the same thing. Well, go ahead, leave and go ahead and try for a full year. But I'm looking at her and I'm like, ma'am, I've technically, if you want to say, I've been trying for a full year because I'm not on any form of birth control. So she left it alone. I'll see you again for your follow-up. Now, you know, for me, it all comes back. Like, it all starts making sense because I was always having these constant pains in my side. But I didn't know what it was. Like, I thought it was from what I was eating. You know, I didn't associate it with it with me as serious as what it was. So then I went to the doctor again. I had another checkup. And she was like, okay, you know, if you're bringing this stuff again, you can go see a school. You know, I'm happy she's actually listening to me at the time. So when I went, you know, they're like, okay, you know, your cycle comes on normally. I'm like, yep, it comes on. I don't have any issues. I don't have any pains. You know, 5 days and then it's off. And she's like, okay, you had a previous son. I'm like, yes. So, you know, she's still looking at me like, well, okay, well, let's start running all these tests. And then I know the ladies in the, you know, fertility world are familiar. They did the HSG test. And of course, I'm like, oh, okay, this will be fine. Everything, you know, to me, everything is, I'm staying positive. I'm constantly like, oh, I'll be fine. You know, nothing's wrong with me. I'll be fine. It's just, you know, it's not my time. God is like, listen, you know, you don't need another one right now. So that was pretty much my mindset of everything. So we did the testing. We did the blood test. We did the HSG test. When they said, oh, well, it looks like, you know, you have some tubal blockage. So, of course, I'm looking and I'm thinking in my head, well, how is that? You know, I had my son, so, you know, when did this come about? You know, now all these thoughts are racing in my head. Like, what's going on? You know, what did I miss something? Is it my fault? I start blaming myself because, I was having these pains. But I never associated with something possibly being wrong when it came to infertility or anything like that. So they said in order for us to know for sure, we'll have to go inside and you'll have to pretty much make a decision. And at the time, my husband, he was only my boyfriend. So it was like, you know, do I put like so much pressure on him to like make a decision? Like if it's something wrong and they have to remove my tubes, what do you think? And I mean, I knew we were going to be where we are now, but it's still a lot to have to make that decision right then and there, because this isn't something you were expecting. All I thought was, hey, I should do this surgery because this is going to give me the answers that I need at the time. And I said to myself, I was like, you know, I'm not going to have them put me under again. So let me just, you know, let the doctor know. She's a really nice lady. I mean, just let her know if it comes to that. And if no repair, then, you know, if you have to remove them, that's fine. So I woke up and she was like, you know, you have what was called hydrosalpinx. And that's pretty much when there's fluid in your fallopian tube. So I'm like, well, ma'am, you know, would this have been something that I knew was there? She's like, no, you wouldn't have known. She's like, the only reason you know is because of the HSG test. So I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, but afterwards, I said to myself, I'm thankful because I never had those pains that I was previously having. So now you fast forward and I'm processing everything. And I'm like, well, wow. You know, I go back to the follow-up appointment, and I'm Googling. I'm thinking, I'm processing everything. And it was like, you know, I always say to myself and my husband, and I talk about this now when we say, I didn't want to stay stuck in, wow, like, you know, I can't have any more kids, because I never wanted to feel ungrateful for those women that never had the opportunity to have their first child. So for me, to be honest, like I said in the beginning, I was just masking it all. You know, it was like, hey, you know, we have these blessings here and it's fine. And then, of course, we got married. And then, of course, everyone around you, they get married, they have kids. And not that you need to, you know, repeat everything that you see around you. But, of course, when you get married, you know, you think about, hey, you know, do we want to build our family and grow our family? So for me, I didn't want to obsess in it because, like I said, I didn't want to be ungrateful for the blessings that I already had. My mom passed away. And I think for me, like, everything just started. Like, the wheels started turning. And I'm like, wow, you know, I have two sisters. So I said, God forbid if one of us was just the only child. You know, my son, you know, he's technically my only child biologically. So I said, you know, maybe it is okay for us to step into the aspect of considering growing our family. And we knew what it would take to do that, and that would be IVF. And my husband was really supportive. I thought he was going to be a little bit nervous about everything. He doesn't. What God loves to be in and out of doctors and the hospitals and stuff like that. But he was really supportive. He's actually the one that kind of like pushed me to do the go ahead and start doing the research. And when I tell you, once I started researching and everything, it, like a weight was lifted off my shoulder, because I really felt like at the time, like I was the only one. I talked to my family. They knew what happened, but no one ever brought it up again. No one said, hey, Shanae, you're okay. You know, anything like that. Friends, no one brought it up again. It was just like, oh, we're happy you're okay. And life went on. So for me, once I tapped into the community of those women that are battling with infertility, that have gone through different things when it pertains to their journey to motherhood, whether it be the first time or their journey to motherhood again, I was like, wow, like I'm missing out on so much. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I belong. Like, I was completely missing out, whether it was on Instagram, Facebook, and as we mentioned before, like on different podcasts and everything like that. So I was so excited to know that I have this community. And for me, I'm even more excited because for me, I felt like I didn't talk about it because no one could relate. And now I know there's someone else out there that may feel the same way that I feel. And I want to be able to touch her and say, hey, I was in your shoes at this point. No one could relate. So I just kind of buried all my feelings and just bypassed it and just what we all do. Oh, everything's okay. You know, I'll be fine. I'll deal with it. And then I'm that person that you can listen to, you can vent, because it's a trying time. It's a serious emotional roller coaster that a lot of people cannot relate to. And we're all this like special community that I really, really appreciate.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So can you share a little more of where you and your husband are in your IVF journey? Are you in the beginning phases of it? Where are you?
So we're actually about to start our very first cycle. It's funny. I don't think any woman out there is like, where is Aunt Flo? Where is she? And I'm looking at the calendar, just clocking it, because I need it to come so that I can start the cycle. I was so blessed and thankful. My insurance actually covers majority of everything. Mm-hmm. So at first I thought I was going to have to like save up and, you know, just wait. But once I found out and did the research and realized that, oh, insurance actually does cover it. And I'm thankful for that, because I know there's a lot of people battling that financial burden.
Yeah. So thank God that you live in Maryland. I keep telling my husband it's a joke, a running joke, that we need to move to Maryland so I can go get my IVF done and then we'll come back to Virginia.
Yes, I agree with you. I definitely agree.
Because Maryland, it's covered and it's a state rule. So Maryland covers 90% of your... Is that how your insurance works?
So my insurance actually covers 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but they have to cover a portion.
Right. Exactly.
That I did.
Right. And that's exactly how I've interviewed two other ladies from the DMV who are in Maryland. Both of them, one of them insurance covered it 90%, and the other lady, her insurance covered it like 80%. So they only had to come out the pocket, you know, 20% and 10%. But whoa, girl, 100%, that is a blessing.
It's a blessing. And that, for me, that was even more reason why just being in touch with the community for me was like, because I was like, wow, like God saw fit. And when I tell you, it was just like, I thought it was a joke. Like, I seriously thought it was a joke. I thought that the insurance company was going to call me. They were going to call my great-great-grandmother, dig her up. Like, I thought they were going to give me such a hard time to cover it. Like, I was so surprised. I literally went to the consultation, did blood work. They asked for my previous records, and that was it. My husband came, he did his blood work as well, and literally 2 weeks later, everything was good to go. And we got our insurance authorization, and I even called, and they were like, everything's good to go. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So now that I was done that, for me, I was just like, okay, where can I fit in? You know, I have this little 31 day of prayer that I like to post when it comes to infertility, because I feel like women are like, either like with me, you're in the very beginning and you haven't started an injection, but you're overwhelming yourself because you're trying to figure out what are these injections that do to you? Mm-hmm. How many eggs are you going to produce? Mm-hmm. Are you going to make it to transfer? Is this embryo going to last? And for me, it was like, where do I fit in? Who can I help? Who can I talk to? Mm-hmm. So that's why I reached out to you, because I feel like there's so many women that are just in the beginning stages. There's mm-hmm. women that are in the middle. There's women that backed out and was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do this. Can I do this? They started. And so because there are so many underlying and different outcomes to the situation, everyone may not have the same diagnosis. So for me, you know, there's some people that go through different things to get up to IVF that they don't have tubal issues. So for me, I was like, okay, I just want to be able to talk to everyone when it comes to an emotional standpoint, I think, because I feel like a lot of times that's one of the things where it's like we just kind of got to get through it, especially if we know it's something that we want to do. And, you know, as a man, you know, your husband or your significant other that you're going through it with, they're just trying to the best of their ability to be supportive. But I feel like it's up to us women to sometimes come together when it comes to that emotional piece. And for me, I feel like God definitely plays a big role, whether it's I'm becoming obsessed with devotion. Mm-hmm. I'm in the store. I'll get a devotional book. I'll subscribe to different devotional books. And I think it's just all about feeding your spirit. You know, we're going to have our good days. We're going to have our bad days. We're human. Mm-hmm. But in a situation like this, for me, what I'm finding that's very important is just to feed your spirit. And of course, you're going to want to do all the research in the world. You're going to want to Google everything in the world. You're going to want to ask the professionals that you're going through it with so many questions. But then at the end of the day, when you're home, you're alone, you know, you're in your car, you're at work. I'm finding it so important to constantly feed your spirit. You know, some people, they may not necessarily believe in God, and that's fine. But I think it's so important to find that type of outlet to feed your spirit in this process. Because even in the beginning, it's just so overwhelming, because a whole box of medication comes to your house and you're like, what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at it, you're like, you know, they tell you what to do. They tell you what to store. You know, whether something goes in the refrigerator, something doesn't. Then you're looking at all these needles. Then you got to keep giving yourself pep talks before you even get to the real part of inserting those needles and injecting those needles into yourself. So right now in my journey, even though I'm literally haven't even completed my very first cycle, I'm just finding it important to constantly feed my spirit, just to keep positive and to stay uplifting and not to get down or to kind of let your mind wonder, oh, what if it doesn't? Oh, what if, you know, the what ifs? And it's just kind of just holding on to faith, speaking to God and knowing that, you know, things are going to work out for your good, and whatever he has truly is going to be for you.
Amen. I agree. So what other things are you doing to prepare your body for this first round of IVF?
I am finally 108 pounds. So I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with myself? Because I will eat junk food. I would just wake up, eat whatever I want, junk, 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 candy, candy, candy. It's to the point where sometimes my husband like side eyes me. When I go in the store, I have to like sneak off and like pick up some candy when he's not around. Cause it's just one of those things where I love to jump. So I had to cut back. Cause I said to me, I'm like, you know, I kept saying to myself, now I'm about to insert a whole bunch of hormones into my body. And now I need the nutrients that I'm supposed to have in my body, even though I'm getting it, but I'm pretty sure I'm not getting it how I'm supposed to. So I would say, because I started back in April, mm-hmm. The whole consultation and everything. So since that point, I was already taking a prenatal vitamin, making sure I had to start taking vitamin D3. And I'm also taking vitamin B12 just for energy, but I'm definitely taking those prenatal vitamins every day. And I'm sure a lot of women are familiar with that in the IVF journey, because that's the number one thing they tell you to take as a supplement, that prenatal vitamin. I'm making sure, like I said, they drink a lot of water. And I'm trying to cut back on, as I said, just the different junk. I'm not a huge vegetable person, but what I'm finding myself doing is just going into the store and getting the different vegetables and stuff and blending it up. That way I can drink it instead of eating it. So funny, because I wouldn't call myself a picky eater because I love to eat. It's just, I feel like all the good stuff that you should eat, I don't like. So I know in this situation, that's not good for me, where I need to make sure that I'm getting all the nutrients. And that's about it. I know I was researching at first. I was a little nervous because I didn't know if I would have to do like a complete 360. But my doctor, she told me, she was like, besides cutting back on a different junk, she was like, you'll be fine, because everything else was falling in place. And she said I'm pretty healthy. So she was like, I wouldn't recommend that you do like a huge diet change of anything else, because it's no point of making that drastic change right now, right before you're about to do something else. So that's pretty much it. I just, like I said, number one, I make sure to drink plenty of water as well in between, because I drink it, but now I'm mindful of making sure how much I'm intaking.
Thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of women will benefit from that, especially if they are in your position where they're just about to begin and start their IVF journey. So thank you for sharing. Hey, sister-in-laws. It is December and Christmas is near. The best Christmas gift you can give me is to rate and review the Sisters in Lost podcast. What is your favorite episode that you've heard in 2018? What episode resonated with you the most on your grief journey? Let me know in your review. Give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the best Christmas gift that you can give me by leaving a review. I'm trying to get to 100 reviews by the end of 2018. So thank you so much in advance for your reviews, and I look forward to what we have in store for 2019. So when you were doing your research around, you know, having a blocked tube and going through this IVF journey, what other resources and tools that were out there that you use to help you?
I was searching blogs, like everyone, different blogs on YouTube and different vlogs on YouTube. And for me, I felt it was really important to hear the stories, listen to other women that had gone through. So that's why I said, for me, I kept saying to myself, I was like, how can I find my place? Because I know there are a lot of women that's going to come after me that need to hear it. You know, you can read it. You know, you can read the different quotes. You can read the different data that the doctor sends you. You can read on, you know, the different fertility clinic blogs, what they do, what they say, what they recommend, what's going to happen on this day, what's going to happen on day 10. But it's nothing like actually hearing people talk about their story or reading their story. So right now I'm following a bunch of people on YouTube that are very helpful. And then, of course, a bunch of people on Instagram are really helpful. And then, of course, I was trying to find out, like, if there was, like, different IVF magazines and, like, IVF websites. I think I'm saying it right. It's called Babbel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find them to be very helpful. And then I sometimes, like, randomly throughout the day, like, I'll just search maybe if there's an article. Because a lot of times different health magazines may post an article about IVF. And mm-hmm. I think that's very helpful as well. Just kind of to get different insights and different things that maybe not necessarily what your clinic recommends, but what another clinic does. Because I'm noticing everyone's different.
Everyone is different. And everyone's, you know, diagnosis of infertility is different too. You know, sometimes it's just unexplained and different doctors do multiple yes. things to try to combat infertility and then suggest different methods to go about it as well. So what are your favorite YouTubers or bloggers that you can give some suggestions to our listeners?
I will give you her exact name because I don't want to get her name wrong. I have one and her name is, and I think she actually was with you. She actually was on your blog. Her name is Candace.
Oh, okay.
My Fruitful Journey.
My Fruitful Journey. Yes, I love her. Yes.
Yes. She helped me. She helped me a lot. I'm so excited for her. I'm so thankful to God for her, where she is in her journey at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But she was someone that helped me a lot. And from seeing her, I think that was just like the initial push that just kept giving me that different motivation. Because I feel like there's room for everyone in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, whereas she's at a different point, and now we're praising her, we're excited for her. Now there's going to be women that are coming right along with me that are kind of wanting to know, hey, okay, what happened on day 5 for you? Or, you know, how did you feel after your transfer? You know, because now I remember it. And I'm not saying anybody would ever forget itself. But someone that's just literally just about to start, I can pour into them. And then people that are further in their journey, she can pour into them. So she's someone that I especially watch all the time. And I love to watch and get updates on what's going on. She seems so sweet.
She's such a sweetheart. And she's referring to Candace Ferris. She was on episode 49 of the podcast. If you all want to go back and listen to her IVF journey. And she's currently pregnant right now. I think she's probably almost 12 weeks now as we're recording this podcast. But we're excited to watch her as she goes throughout her pregnancy through her vlog and her blog and on Instagram and stuff. So thank you for sharing that.
And of course, you. Like I said, I think you were like I said, it was so funny because I kept saying it was for a few days. I would try to take a break because, and I'm sure this is with any woman, just when they become, you know, interested in something, whether it's something fun or something serious, you know, you start researching and, you know, social media is a gift, of course. And of course, I'm sure a lot of people are realizing that certain things can be a curse, but in this situation, it was definitely, I would say, a gift. And I was so thankful because I was kind of like feeling like, okay, you know, maybe social media is not going to help me much, because I was like, I was reading some people's stories, but then I was like, okay, I kind of can't relate. And then I would kind of like stop for a few days, stop looking, and I would just like go off and just start reading different other things on my own. And then I kept saying, I was like, it has to be another platform out there, another platform. And I found somehow you came up in like the following list on Instagram. I believe someone liked one of your posts. And when I found you, I was like, yes, here it is. This is exactly what I was looking for. I was like, thank you, Lord. Because it's just a lot of things, you know, everyone's, like you said, everyone's journey is different. And I just appreciated that you are touching on every single woman's journey, whether it's secondary infertility, like I'm going through, like you said, or whether it's unexplained, whether they have already, you know, lost a child in the process. But we all just fit into the puzzle. And I was just thankful that you, to me, it's like you're the jack of all trades. Like you, it's all here. Like you all have it. You don't have to go to one person for this and then one person for that, because you're constantly touching and reaching out, making sure that the community stays together, and it's like a one-stop shop. So I would just
thank you.
I came across you. I was like, oh my goodness.
And oh, thank you. That's such a blessing. Yeah. That blesses me. Lets me know that the work I'm doing is not in vain, and that God is being used and being touched by the voices of women like you every week on the podcast. So that's such a blessing to me. Thank you so much.
such a blessing. And like I said, I was just so happy, and I'm thankful for the opportunity, because like I said, I know it's hard. You know, it's hard for every woman, no matter where they are in their journey. And for me, I just felt like, let me just, I can't reach everybody, but at least I know you, and, you know, people are knowing different journeys through you.
Awesome. So
there'll be someone that can relate to me.
Right. Exactly. So what encouraging words can you leave the mom out there who's experienced secondary infertility and is about to start her first round or second round of IVF?
I said, don't give up, because I feel like when it comes to something that you really want, you're always going to have those different voices in your head, like, oh, you know what, maybe I can't do this, maybe it's too much. But if you know within, it's your heart's desire, definitely don't give up. Also, keep your circle, and, you know, keep your village when you're going through this tight. You're always going to feel like you want to tell certain people you're excited. For me, I'll be honest, I had to tell, you know, certain family members, you know, just because I feel like going into a situation where you have to go to the doctor or you have to go to the hospital, you know, God forbid something happens to you. I didn't want my husband just to be calling him like, hey, you know, Shanae, such and such, you know, and they're like, wait, what do you mean? What's going on? You know, oh, you know, can you come visit Shanae? Because she's not doing too well. So for me, I find it very important in this time right now to just keep your circle and keep your village tight. Don't tell everyone, because sometimes I always feel like you always get those negative people, and they really don't mean to be there. But because they don't know and because they don't understand, you always hear that, oh, girl, that's a lie. I wouldn't do all of that. And even though, you know, I'm sure people have heard so many different things, but that's what I mean by your spirit and that negative energy. But I feel like in this time, just going through from the beginning to the end, just going through the whole journey, you just need the different supportive people that are constantly going to be there supporting you and rooting for you every step of the way. And as I said, continue to feed your spirit. And if it means that you have to take a break, whether it be from even those, the social media platform or the internet platform of just doing your research, it's being helpful. But if you know you just need to take a break and you just need time for yourself just to reflect and to relax, that's very important. Because you don't want, it's already overwhelming, and you don't want to keep overwhelming yourself every day. And for me, it's just, I'm finding it very important to just be able to balance everything out and to listen to your body. Even as I mentioned, just going through the journey to get to where I'm in now, as women, sometimes we kind of say, oh, I'm okay. But it's important that you listen to your body in this whole situation and ask as many questions as you need, because we don't know at all. You may see that you read about what's about to happen or how this is about to do or what, you know, how you may react to this, but ask all the questions. When we were in school, the teachers always said, no question is a dumb question. And I kind of feel like they just said that because they had to say that. But for me, I feel like that's very important. And just have your person in the process. And now whether or not they can relate to infertility, just know that you have a person that you can go to. If it happens to be outside of your spouse, then I think that's okay, because sometimes your spouse is not going to understand everything. Or you don't want to overwhelm them too. But I think it's important to always have your person in the process. And just continue to pray and just continue to stay within the community, because there's so many women out there that we don't know where they are in the process. And I feel like everyone is going to be helpful some way or another, no matter how they, you know, how they got to where they are or what they're doing in their process.
Awesome. So where can we find you on social?
So my social media, Instagram, it's funny because I kept saying I would see some cute names, you know, IVF journey, different things like that. But I wanted to keep mine positive, but also have that IVF acronym. So it's Inspire_Victorious_Faith. So if you see it, you'll be like, oh, I get it, IVF. And again, that's inspire_victorious_faith. And then my personal Instagram, and I have not posted anything on my personal Instagram just because we wanted to get to the point where prayerfully that it's that positive good news from everything that we going through right now, and then I'll post it on there. But of course, if you want to find me on my personal Instagram, which I don't have a problem with, it's at Chanay, ChanayDawna. So that was it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chanay, for sharing your story and for us connecting on this podcast.
And thank you so much, Erica, for having me. It was so great to be able to share my story and for you to take some time out of your day to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Podcasts. Please join us in our offline discussions in our private Facebook group by going to sistersinloss.com. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please rate and subscribe to us and leave us a 5-star review. I pray that you all have a blessed week. Keep the faith, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.